everyone. I'm Haley Allam, and this is Mom Life in Luxembourg. If you're a parent new to Luxembourg, then this is the podcast for you. From crèches to crèmes, we'll cover everything you need to know about raising kids and living your best life in the Grand Duchy. Hi, Heather. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. I'm really happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you so much for joining. First of all, it takes kind of a lot of courage to come out and talk about GLP-1s. So I just want to say, bravo, you're very brave. You're also doing a service, right? Because chances are there's probably a lot of people here in Luxembourg who are interested and don't even know where to start. So I want to give you a huge thank you.
It's my pleasure. It actually took me about a year of deliberation to make a decision myself, and I was silent and quietly watching people go through the process. So if it helps anybody weigh their choices for their health and their well-being, I'm happy to do it.
Amazing. I want to talk about the process by which you started a GLP-1, what it was. I want the whole details, whatever you feel comfortable sharing publicly. And also the judgment and the Serena Williams and all the actresses and actors and kind of perception in the media about all of this. But before we jump into that, tell me your Luxembourgish story. Tell me a little bit about you.
I am so happy to be in Luxembourg. This is my third year here. I'm originally from Massachusetts, and I came here for my husband's job. And then I was also lucky enough to get a part-time position working here as well. So we're here with our two teenagers. And I'm just...
And you had one graduate.
Yes.
And is now off at college. So you have three, right?
Two. One just graduated last year and started college this year. So
very busy, working family, two kids. I get it. I have three kids and life is bananas.
Three beautiful kids, I have to say. I love them.
Thank you. Well, I think your kids are beautiful too. So tell me about, you said you were thinking about this, chewing on this for like a year. I want to hear your story. And I would just like to also, spoiler alert, I'm on Mounjaro, which is not a GLP-1. It's a tirzepatide, which I don't think are the same. Oh, also disclaimer, we are not doctors.
Yeah.
So you will not be receiving any medical advice. We are just like moms living the life.
Yeah. This is not an endorsement. This is just basically information, how we got started, how I got started, and why. Because it was a struggle. I was previously a personal trainer. For me, I knew that women struggled with their weight, that it wasn't as simple as just balancing your diet and working out a lot. I knew that women faced different challenges. But the reason I started this journey is because after being a personal trainer, I entered my late 40s and everything changed. My appetite changed, my energy changed, my body changed. So it wasn't something I could have predicted or prevented through lifestyle necessarily. Although there were lifestyle changes like moving from place to place.
Right, because you guys have a job where you kind of move around a lot. It's like a contracted time or something, right?
Right.
Do you think it had to do with perimenopause or menopause or just aging?
Everything. I think there was a culmination of factors. I think that... So as I'm getting closer to 50, I can't go and do high intensity running. I used to run 15 to 20 miles a week.
Wow.
Lift on my lunch break, train three clients during the day. So plus chasing around kids. It's a mix between grabbing food when you can and chasing children around or taking them to sports. So moving here, I was suddenly more in an office setting. Sitting down, sitting in meetings, sitting in lots of meetings.
So was it here that you gained a bunch of weight? Because I get the impression that you were super, if you were a personal trainer, you were obviously super fit for a long time.
I was, but no, it was before here. Before here, I just noticed, I'd say around 46, 47, my appetite was unstoppable. I was always hungry. My stomach was always growling, and I was really good at feeding my family healthy foods, putting out like healthy snacks after school, carrot sticks and things for the kids to refuel before they go off to swim practice.
That's better than I do, to be honest.
Well, you know, I was obsessed. And then to one day get on the scale and the pounds start packing on. I have my toolbox of tricks, you know, the reducing how many carbs, eating more nutrient-dense food and being more active. It stopped working.
It's not like a scenario where you didn't know what you were supposed to be doing.
No.
Eat less, exercise more. Turns out doesn't work in your 40s so much.
Not so much. Not so much, you know. And also, you may not be able to get up every morning at 5 a.m. and go for that run. You've got a life. You've got kids. You've got a spouse. You've got a job. Then you get embarrassed. So at that point, I think when I was, by the time I was 48, I started feeling really ashamed. I felt like a fake. Like here I was, the former distance runner, personal trainer, and I was packing on those pounds and there was really not much I could do about it. I tried, but failed. And you know, like women, we are how our bodies look, how we dress, we get judged, we feel embarrassed. And next thing you know, you find yourself avoiding photographs with your family or trying to kind of hide in the background of things because you had always promoted good health and positivity.
And then you are trying to be this person that lives that, but it's just not really showing up in your outer whatever. I get that. I totally get that. On my end, I was never like a skin and bones thin person. You know, I was always very athletic, but you know, I had three kids.
You were also super athletic too. You have a strong athletic background.
Yeah, I was very athletic, but I was never like a small Kate Moss kind of a person. That's not my vibe at all. But I gained weight with each kid. The first kid, I got back to my pre-pregnancy weight, but like the muscle to fat ratio was just not happening. And then with my middle, I think I gained 15 pounds that just never came off. And then I had my third and I was 40. So it was just kind of a disaster of like just being stuck with this. And it, I remember doing all the things. It's not like we are very fortunate, affluent people living in Luxembourg. And it's not because we don't have access to healthy food and salad all the time. And it's not because we don't have access to a gym or whatever. These things happen. So tell me what, I guess, eventually tipped you over to go for it. And like, how'd you get it? Because I think that people here just don't really know.
It's tricky. So in the United States, there are a lot of online services. Some of them are legitimate and some of them are a little shady, where you can sign up for it with a consultative visit and get it sent to you as a service. I had heard about it, but it sounded too much like a magic pill, like too good to be true. So a friend here actually started her journey on this. And I told her, she was very open. She was very open from start to finish about how she was doing this. She wanted people to know. I think because she was in the same stage that a lot of us are in, that we're ready to do something good for ourselves. She was like bygones with, she's to heck with judgment, did not care what people thought about her. She's that, was that kind of personality that I wish I could be. Completely fearless, really did not care about people's opinions. So I was really lucky to be friends with this person, but I still wasn't ready. So I watched her. She came to me every other day and talked about what happened as she started through this journey. And all of a sudden, I would say 2 or 3 months into it, you could see visibly the change. She had a glow up. She had this amazing glow up. Then one night out, we had a formal event and she came out in a beautiful gown and was transformed. You could see her family was proud of her. I, having talked to her almost every day about it, I learned it wasn't easy, that this wasn't just an injection you pop and then whew, everything sheds off your body. I learned from her about how she had to change her diet, how she struggled with digestive issues, let's just say.
So she had side effects. I want to talk about that, pause for a minute, because when you present this caterpillar, turns into a butterfly, and she comes out in this beautiful ball gown.
I know.
That's sort of like an unfair story to tell people,
100%.
You know, without like the real deal of what happened in the background. And then the other thing is that invites the judgment because that makes it look like it's just about aesthetics.
Exactly. But some people might. Now, here's the thing. So not you or I, but some people may choose to do this just because they want to be thinner. And I'm not here to judge people's why. That's not my opinion. I've been reading so much in the media about the people being picked apart for mentioning that they look better after this when, you know,
like Amy Schumer and stuff,
right? Ripped, absolutely ripped apart, whether you love her or hate her, like the rippage and the carnage over that was just like, whew, it blew me away.
Well, because we're taught this like body positivity, love your body no matter what, yeah. Which you should. And I wouldn't say that like I don't or didn't or whatever, but I think everybody makes choices. Some people get boob jobs. Some people get nose jobs. Some people take antidepressants. Some people get hair transplants. Like there's lots of things that people do for whatever reason, but it's also unfair. So let's also talk about what she was really doing, because it wasn't just you shoot up and then you walk out in this beautiful ball gown, right? Right. So there are side effects. It comes with like a black box warning. I don't know, according to social media, which everyone knows, everything you see on social media is completely true.
Oh, absolutely. Believe every bit.
There's all this like longevity things, and that there's like all these added benefits, which I don't know if they're true or not. Again, we are not doctors.
No.
No. But tell me, so she had digestional issues. You get constipated, you get gas. I had none of that. Zero.
I honestly, maybe the slight constipation, but not to the point where I was in any issue. I would just know, oh, look, I need to eat some more green vegetables. Or strangely enough, a glass of red wine would fix and get things going the next day. It was like, the things you didn't expect, you're like, okay.
I could live with that.
Exactly. I actually didn't. My side effects weren't bad. It just was within 24 hours of my first injection, all of a sudden wine didn't taste very good anymore. And it's improved. I'm now feeling very normal. My relationship with food is pretty healthy, including wine. But in the beginning, food, after a while, you had to get used to eating very small portions. And if you went too far, you didn't feel well. You felt nauseous, or you'd take a bite and it was just one bite too much of that meal. And you'd be like,
can't do it.
I'm done. I'm all done, and take the dish away.
Did you ever feel like you had to make sure you ate enough calories? Because if you lose the weight too quickly, you can have all sorts of problems, especially women of our age, because osteoporosis is around the corner and you're already like losing muscle. I mean, I saw something on social media, also always true, that I have faced more peer pressure to eat protein now than I ever did to do drugs as a teenager.
That is so true. That is so true. And I think sometimes we even have a pitfall, like eating around other women, just even eating around other women. If you look around, you look at what other people are ordering for dinner and you're like, I'm going to make sure I order something a little smaller or a little healthier than that person, so that person doesn't judge me. Or, you know, the way we behave is so, we're so used to being self-regulating based on what other people or other women around us are going to think. So this journey, I had to be careful. I had to make sure around my kids, my behavior didn't cause any problems. Like, if I sat down, I really wasn't hungry for a big lunch and I was like, just going to have a little cup of soup. I had to make sure my children are watching me as well. I need to make sure that they're eating healthy and they're not looking at me and thinking that I'm sacrificing or starving myself to be some kind of goal or some weight. There's so many things we are like throwing around or trying to keep in our mind. The mental load can be too much.
I love that you're very honest about that. Like in a social setting, you see what other people are ordering and then kind of order similar or something. That's really sad in the first place.
It is.
Tell me what you did. So besides the injections, what lifestyle changes? So you basically said you just could not overeat because it would make you feel sick. What about exercise? What are you doing to not lose all of your muscle mass and bone density and disintegrate on the floor?
I'm not sure. I'm hoping I'm not disintegrating on the floor. But I basically, as I started to drop the weight, I found that I could move better anyways. So I was more comfortable.
Like less joint pain?
Less joint pain, better balance.
Wow.
Before I started all this, when I was trying to lose weight, my last effort, I actually took a tumble down a hill and broke my legs because I just was uncoordinated and self-conscious. So as I started to lose the weight gradually, and I kept on the lowest dose possible throughout this.
So you stayed on the lowest dose the entire time? You never went up?
No. Well, I went up once. I went up once. So I started at 0.25 milligrams of Wegovy and I went up to 0.5 and then just tried to stretch this out as low and slow as I possibly could to not lose muscle. I believe I still did. I'll be frank. That's one of the side effects, of course. You know, I did lose muscle, but I continued to do weights, a little bit of weight training as I was moving along. And then also doing cardiovascular exercise, because for me, being 51, heart health is really important to me. So I do rowing. I'm not going to run. I'm not going to do that to my joints anymore, although I'm still tempted. But rowing at moderate intensity for about 30 minutes and then working up to like 45 minutes a session. It was really great.
So you have a rowing machine in the garage or something?
Yeah, they're not expensive. You can get a decent one delivered.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a lot of work on your, a lot of pressure on your back.
I guess so. I think maybe it would be good to work out with a trainer to learn good form so you're not...
Oh, were you a rower in the past life so you knew what you were doing?
Well, I did in college for like a month.
Yeah, for sure. It's like a bike. You don't forget.
And then they decided because I was so short, I should be a coxswain. So then I didn't get to row anymore. And I thought that's no fun.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think you had amazing success working. Did you work with a nutritionist or a dietitian?
I don't know what the difference is.
So a dietitian has a college degree, and then a nutritionist has a certification. They're both very good. But either one, if you choose to work with one, I think that is such a wise move.
We need to talk about how you got the prescription from abroad. Yeah, tell me about the journey about how you got the Wegovy here in Luxembourg in the first place.
In short, I got the cheat sheet from my friend who had the butterfly-like glow-up, but also told me the nitty-gritty of it. So I went on a website. You have to get prescription. You can get it from an online doctor, from an online consultation, but the doctor has to be based in Europe. So okay. I couldn't go through a U.S. consultation or a U.S. doctor. The doctor has to be licensed here.
Do you remember the name of the website?
Oh, yes. It's Moby Doctor.
MobyDoctor.com?
I know it sounds super shady, but the good thing is all of the doctors, I've consulted with three doctors on this service, and all three of them actually use or have used the medication themselves.
Oh.
So it's not something that they're just getting a consultation fee for talking to me for 10 minutes and popping the shot. All three of them had experience with it for years. The last one I spoke to, he's been using it for 3 years and prescribing it to patients. So I never really had to call them back with any concerns or questions, but I had, it's kind of scary. It's a 10-minute consult for the first time.
And then the phone just hangs up.
And then you're shut off and they said, send me your blood work. So I went and I got updated blood work.
Oh, so you did have to take a blood test first.
I did. I think they want to check, especially at my age, that I don't have any other conditions that might contradict or contraindicate this medication. Mm-hmm. So once I sent that in, the doctor wrote me back, said everything's okay, and gave me a script. Now, here's the part that was like a little shady for me. So, you know, like the United States is all up on these medications and you can get them at any pharmacy. You send in the script and boom, there it is. But here, not every place is maybe so friendly or positive or pushing on it. So you would take the script and you have to, I called around and I sent emails to pharmacies in Germany.
Why didn't you try Luxembourg? Because you just thought Luxembourg's not going to happen?
I was told in Luxembourg they had Mounjaro. I found through friends who did it along the way that Mounjaro was available in Luxembourg, but Wegovy is not yet.
Okay.
So simply, I could go over the border. So Trier has a lot in just a square mile, all these pharmacies. And so I sent emails around asking, hey, even when you go in, when you get one that responded very quickly and said, yes, Mrs. Rand, you can pick it up on Saturday. We'll put it aside for you. I was like,
nice.
Bravo. We're off. Once you get to that point, now it's not so scary. You're like, I found somebody who's friendly. They're not going to judge me. And they're not going to ask me, why are you getting this medication? Are you diabetic? Because I'm not. I was probably borderline diabetic at mm-hmm. this point. And I definitely had high blood pressure. But anyways, so you go and you bring in your paper, and it's expensive. And I don't have CNS. I have a private pay insurance.
Oh. Well, so, CNS doesn't pay for it anyways, I don't think, unless you have diabetes.
I think so. If you have a condition, they might cover it. So you go in your paper and you hand it over, and the pharmacist is looking it up and down. And then sometimes I have to explain, oh, I emailed yesterday and they said it was set aside and my English isn't translating. But so far, after the first time, it's not so scary.
So are you schlepping out to Trier once a month for a year or however long you've been on it? Or did you ever try to get it filled here in Luxembourg?
I haven't had it filled here in Luxembourg. I usually get 2 to 4 months filled at a time in Trier.
And how long have you been on it? And how long are you going to be on it? Give me your history.
So I started in February. I got to where I really wanted to be by August. Then that was the point where I wasn't doing this to be any size I was before, like when I was a trainer. I'm like, those goals, we're going to have adjust new goals. I'm 50 years old now.
Right.
So by August, I got to a place where I felt really good. And I think given that time, I had adjusted my eating habits. My nutrition was on point. I'm eating better. I'm feeding my family better because I'm eating better. And I'm to the activity level that I really want to stay at for the rest of my life without looking at other circumstances or health things that may crop up later. Mm-hmm. So from August on to like now, I took about 2 months pretty much off and didn't consistently take it at all, which was scary. I thought, am I going to have to be on this forever? The end game is probably from time to time, I'm probably going to have to go back on the medication because for sure, the hungries came back with a vengeance.
And really?
Yeah.
How long were you off of it before the hungries came back? And just define what the hungries are in case anybody's not quite clear on that.
So some people say food noise. I think there's a difference. I think some people feel it in their head. The appetite comes back and they start obsessing over food again, which is natural. Like food is gratification. It's one of the most interesting things of life. For me, it was my stomach would growl. I'd be sitting in meetings and all of a sudden my stomach, even though I had a healthy breakfast, it would be growling again by 10. And I'd be like, excuse me. Oh, excuse me.
So it's like your blood sugar is dropping.
It's back down to being the roller coaster.
How long after you went off of it did that start happening again?
Probably within like 2 or 3 weeks.
Wow.
Was like back there again. But I feel like if you are really adapting back to your healthy eating, you can kind of maintain it as much. But there might be a point where you're like, okay, I need to go back on the medication again. So I have resumed it as of, I'd say 2 weeks ago, at a low dose again, 0.5 milligrams.
The nutritionist that I was talking to said that's actually the worst thing is to go off of it and on it and off of it and on it. But also, there aren't real studies on the maintenance plan. No. So it's kind of like you choose your own adventure.
We are the guinea pigs right now, I think. This is...
Unfortunately.
I don't want to be, but I think your nutritionist might be right. It might be a matter of consistently staying on this, or it might be microdosing. It might be maybe taking it every 2 weeks instead of every week. I'm trying to figure it out as I go along right now. But right now, I've only put on back a pound, pound and a half.
Right. And that could be for a number of reasons. You could gain a pound. You know right, what I mean?
Exactly.
That's nothing to really worry about.
No.
Can we talk about the judgment?
Oh, let's go there because... I think you and I have talked about this a lot. It's been great talking to you and having someone also like doing their own journey in this as well. So, I mean, what have you felt about it so far?
Well, I feel great about it personally, but I am one of those people that doesn't necessarily care that much about what other people think. I also think, though, being in Europe is really liberating compared to California, where I'm from, because I think there's all sorts of body diversity here. I never felt any pressure to be a certain size here or look a certain way ever. So I don't feel so much. When I say the judgment, I think I mean like in the overall media of Amy Schumer getting ripped apart. But also, I judge people too, like Serena Williams being like, I need this. You're like, you're a professional Olympic athlete. Like, you don't need this. Like, why do you need this, you know? Right. But then on the flip side, I could say I need it because I feel better on it than off of it. Mm-hmm. Like you said, the food noise is just gone. Like, I think I'm just dopamine seeking, you know, and just kind of, you know, you just pick a little here, pick a little there. And also the blood sugars. From the day after my first shot, my energy was stable throughout the day.
Wasn't it?
Amazing.
I focused at work better than I ever had before. I mean, it was just such a change. I felt like, oh, so is this what it's like
for
what
regular people,
like, you know, like
it was never like that for me. But this is what I think it's like for some people that have really good control over their blood sugar.
Well, I did in my 20s and 30s. I had such control over what I ate and my appetite. So, I mean, for me, I think that aging was a lot of the process. And all of a sudden to have zero control and to be in a conference and just dragging my head off the table. But I do think like the judgment is terrifying. I do. I'm the opposite. I care way too much what people think. So I'm going to be very raw and honest right here and now, because I think there are going to be people that identify with you and there are going to be people that identify with me. I kept this from my family for a while. I just last night started talking to my oldest teenager about it because he came home from college and was like, Mom, you look fantastic. You're doing a great job. And I said, well, I need to be honest with you. I went and had medical assistance to lose weight and be healthier. That this wasn't just, it wasn't easy. And it wasn't just following what people think is a formula. What I see all the time is people say, well, you should just do it the natural way.
Oh, right. The old-fashioned way.
I love that. The old-fashioned way. When you read that, I kind of, my toes curl because I'm like, no. You know, we all have to weigh out our own decisions regarding our health. So someone may not like the decision that you or I made. And that's not their body.
Right.
They can make what is the best decision for their bodies. And if they want to judge me, so be it. But you and I did. We did the research. We talked to professionals. We tried things the old-fashioned way. And then we also looked at these medications and how they've been used in the past for treatment of diabetes and what the side effects are. So as a personal trainer, when you would take on a new client, I would always tell them, exercise and fitness is also a risk. So you personally need to weigh out the benefits, the advantages, and the risks of fitness because you can get injured working out. You can discover a new condition exercising if you go too hard. So you also have to make that choice in your life. Not everybody is going on the same path. The medication is the same. You and I had to look at the risk factors. Is our hair going to fall out? Mm-hmm. Are we going to lose muscle? Is it worth it?
If you go to a nutritionist, though, or even you can buy like medical grade scales that you stand on and you hold the things. My friend has one that tells you your percent muscle to fat and water in your body and all these things. Those things are out there. So you can track, or you go to a nutritionist and CNS does cover nutritionists, $7 a time, then you're tracking.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, well, I had a gym membership before, but this was part of the catalyst to do this is like, I really spent 3 months like working my balls off and eating, you know, like I said, it wasn't that I was not aware of what I needed to do. I was doing it.
Yep.
And I think I lost like a kilo or something. And that was even after dry January. And
I remember that.
And I was so pissed.
Oh my God.
And I made this commitment that this year, I'm not gonna put myself dead last. Yeah, this was part of my journey. I feel like there's been a lot of benefits that don't have to do with weight loss. So in the beginning, you know, my perimenopause symptoms went away, which was amazing. So I slept better, you know, and I don't know if that's for everybody. I have no idea. Like this is, you know, just my experience.
No, I think it's very common. In fact, after my friend had this wonderful glow up, a lot of our colleagues and friends joined on the bandwagon as well. And things I heard from people were that sleep apnea improved or disappeared entirely. Back pain, knee pain, joint pain was improved. Cholesterol improvement, blood pressure improvement. It mitigated drops in blood sugar. And for me, just everything improved. I felt more like myself again. I regained confidence now that I've gotten to where I want to be and I'm tapering back a little off the medication. The joy has come back for me a bit.
That's cool. That's great. That's wonderful news. You know what's wild is I'm almost to goal and I find myself not really caring if I reach it or not.
That's good. That's good. I think you have to adjust your goals. I think in our mind's eye, we saw my friend who came out and
she had like not catastrophic, but what's a word? Cataclysmic, like life-changing weight loss. She lost like 50 pounds or something, right?
Incredibly, incredibly. And I think you're doing it right. I think both of us getting halfway through the journey, maybe rethinking about what the end game was important. Mm-hmm. Like, boy, I would have loved to look and feel the way I did in mid-30s when I was like a powerhouse and unstoppable. I was like, but now I think just I want to be happy. The confidence, I'm going to just seize on that and just take the gains, the benefits that I have now. And maybe I think we're seeing, and media is jumping right on the people that don't readjust and are taking things too far. And they're trying to reflect that on everybody. We're not in those shoes. We're not who's Sharon Osbourne and these people that you're getting a little worried because they're
jumping. The other thing is like thinness doesn't mean health.
No, it doesn't.
At all.
Quite the opposite. It can be, there are people that struggle to put on weight. And also, you know, we're really blowing up and highlighting the famous people that have taken things too far. Because first of all, some of them want that attention, whether it's negative or positive. We need to like each person on their own basis, think about their journey or what they want from life. And I think it was scary. And I went to my husband in the beginning and I said, I'm really thinking about doing this. And I expected him to look at me and go, take a shot to lose weight. And he looked at me and he said, gosh, you know, I've been thinking of it too.
Like, oh, really?
Yeah. Because it wasn't necessarily about just dropping weight. It was about feeling better, moving around, maybe having lower risk of stroke for women in my age in their 50s, having added weight.
And you had high blood pressure, right?
Yep. For men, higher risk of heart disease, heart attack. Mm-hmm. That just was surprising that my husband was like, no, I think you should think about it. And that was just a relief.
That's cool. So just to summarize, if you are in Luxembourg and you've done your own research and this is something that you want to do, there's Moby Doc, and I think you can get it in Luxembourg now. And in fact, so for me, I got a Moby Doc prescription, but then my GP here just refilled it.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah. So, and it's not covered by CNS. I'm not pre-diabetic, but it's worth it for me for the weight loss, but it's also worth it for me for all the other reasons, like the focus and the energy and sleeping better and things like that.
You know, I can see it already in your confidence. I think that it's changed. And, you know, some people may try this. I know one person who started on it and it didn't work for her. And that's fine. I think there's going to be a lot of developments in medicine going forward because we haven't been looking, especially at women in our health. There's been a lot of focus on other issues, but weight loss for women, I think, is a big topic that I think doctors are starting to look at because after the kids and menopause, premenopause and perimenopause are actually a big topic right now mm-hmm. that I've noticed is increasing, which is both good and bad.
Is there anything else that you want to tell people before we go?
I would just say each journey, each person needs to weigh out the benefits and the minuses for themselves. And you may hear horror stories in the media about it, and you may read about warnings and threats. And I mean, you may learn about digestive problems that are cropping up and maybe long-term issues. Consult with your doctor.
Do your own research.
Do your own research. You know, I made that decision. People may not like it. They may not agree with it, but I've made that decision and I get to live with the consequences or the benefits of it. That's my feeling. I'm trying to be more fearless and outspoken about it because honestly, it worked for me. It worked very well. I feel fantastic. And yeah. If I have to continue with this for the rest of my life, I will, as opposed to having to take high blood pressure medication and suffer back pain and sleep loss and right. all the other things. So the trade-off for me, that's my choice.
Good for you. Good for you. Yeah, definitely do your own research, make your own decisions. It's your body and it's your medical choice, right? So like on the one hand, I feel very out and proud about it because I think it's really benefited me. On the other hand, it's nobody's business what medicine you take.
So true. No one so far has asked me how I lost weight. So that's a good thing. I think people have only said positive things to me, but I'm sure they go home and they say, did she or didn't she? It isn't their business. But if somebody came to me and suspected it and said, can you talk to me about it or help me get on, you know, consider it or talk to me about your experience, I would help them. I absolutely would.
You're helping them right now.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
But you're right. You're right. It's nobody's business.
Thank you so much, Heather.
My pleasure. Thank you for your time.
And that's a wrap on this episode of Mom Life in Luxembourg. If you like the show, I'd love to hear from you. Please feel free to leave a comment, or better yet, share with another mom friend. And if there's a topic you'd like to see covered or you want to be on the show yourself, please email me at momlife@rtl.lu. And if you're feeling social, you can always reach me on Facebook and Instagram at Mom Life in Luxembourg. Thanks so much and have a great day.